Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And that is us for a Tuesday evening. Welcome aboard until 9 o'clock. Larry Bluestein with you. And two, we have the Cactus Bowl, right? The Cactus Bowl coming up at 9 o'clock. That should be an interesting contest as well. We welcome you in. Short time. I think we got used to those 2 hours. But nevertheless, hope you had a Merry Christmas yesterday. We can wish you a Happy New Year at the beginning, and we'll wish you one at the end. Obviously, next week we'll be off. We got the Under Armour game. They got Army All-American game, so we'll have everything covered. You can follow us on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, and also on our Twitter account and our Facebook, everything. We've got stories and evaluations and whatever every single day, and it's exciting. This time of year, we're kind of ending up. We had Northwestern go out to play football in that Geico Bowl last week. Probably not a good idea. I mean, they won the state title, so certainly that's a great idea. But, you know, I'm just not into that. Those extra games. You play enough. You know, a lot of these teams travel. They have, you know, they went through a pretty decent gauntlet to win state. They had to play their own district like two times each. So, but we have all-star games coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that. We even have underclassmen all-star games at one in particular, the Legends All-Star Game last week. We had quite a few local players take part in that as well. Great show this evening for you. As we said, we're going up until 9 o'clock this evening. Coach Chris Merritt from Columbus, you know him as outstanding football coach for the Explorers. He's done an excellent job. He'll join us about 8:45 or so. He has USA football as well. Had an opportunity last week to go to the Bahamas Bowl and run clinics, so we'll talk to him about that. It's always good to hear what's going on in the offseason. 8:30, Elijah Moore, a wide receiver signee of Ole Miss. That happened last week from St. Thomas Aquinas last Wednesday. Speaking about last Wednesday, we'll have Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services join us at 8:20. We'll talk about the early National Signing Day. Opinions, everybody has them. I like it, but I think that the timing, as I was just telling Don Bailey Jr. and Alex Dono, that I felt when you take a look at it, it's a good idea, sure. But I think what could happen is you could have it about a week or two into January. That way, you're still 3 weeks earlier, almost a month, 3 weeks probably. And that way, you don't have the distractions of being able to, you know, coaches like to coach in bowls. I mean, without having to run around and make sure that they got this kid signed. So I think that it's a great idea, great concept, but certainly one that can be tweaked during this next 8, 9, 10 months, 11 months while they're discussing things. I know maybe minor, but something that can, you know, turn kind of major. You know, obviously kids, you know, you look at American Heritage and a lot of people are talking. I mean, they came off a run where they went to state. They had to play a extremely tough road. You know, Cardinal Gibbons, who also played an extremely tough road, and also Immokalee, and went up to state. And then they came back, and then the next week they had to make a decision. It was kind of tough on a lot of kids. So I think that could be pushed back. Give them a little cooling off period, let the season end, you know, for some of these underclassmen as well who often get ready to make commitments as well. As I said, big time show this evening until 9 o'clock. We talked a little bit earlier about that class of 2019. Those are the juniors now. They'll take their seat right after the next National Signing Day on February 7th. As the actual class on the clock, and they played at Armwood High School last week, East versus West South Florida type of game. Just really a lot of talent. And one of the players that joined in from Cardinal Gibbons, a running back, his name is Vincent Davis. And I'll tell you what, this kid is a big-time player. Actually, as Coach DeBuck says, he's part of the Davis and Davis Hall of Fame duo in the backfield. And Vincent Davis joins us this evening. Vincent, thanks so much for taking the time, and a happy holiday.
Happy holiday. Thank you.
This has got to be a thrill for you. You get into the spotlight last year. Everybody gets a chance to see you. You have a tremendous season. It falls short. I mean, you did everything you could. I watched you during the game against Heritage. And then get invited to a prestigious all-star game for underclassmen that you played in last week. What's that like for you, and what's this entire experience been for you?
Yeah, it was just a blessing. Like, just the coming off from the last season, I didn't play my sophomore year. I got injured 2 days right before the season, and coming into the season, you know, with my quarterback, my excellent O-line, with who's coming back with Willie Hepburn, Jamari Williams, and it was just excellent having a good season and then coming back with All-Star game.
Now that All-Star experience, I mean, that had to be pretty neat. I mean, you had a couple of your teammates. You had Chris Bogle, you had Nick Scalzo, but you had a lot of guys there that were pretty good.
Yeah, like the boys from Miami, Jordan from St. Thomas. Yeah, we just had a great experience.
Yeah,
Coach Rat and AG, they provided a perfect opportunity.
Both of them are great guys. And Coach A, you know, I talked to Coach AG today, and he was talking about some of the, you know, the talent in the game, and you were just saying it. What is it like? I mean, because you play a pretty competitive schedule, and three out of the last 5 weeks or three out of the last 4 weeks were as tough as any schedule in the state. Talk about how that got you ready, you know, this year, because, I mean, you play Heritage twice. You played a Rockledge team that was really good, and Orlando Jones team that really was a surprising team. Talk about the way that you felt you performed down the stretch.
Yeah, those last games, it was big games. Like, I can't explain it, but it's just I can't explain it.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Me. Yeah, it prepared me to be a better player because, you know, American Heritage, they have that's a tremendous football school. They prepared me to get to the moment.
Yeah. No, I mean, it
worked.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The work with Coach Bennett and Coach Buck, they pushed us to get to that moment.
Yeah. As we're speaking with Vincent Davis from Cardinal Gibbons High School, just a junior, just came off a Legends game over the weekend. Vincent, that's what I was going to ask you about. You have two guys that were amongst the best that ever wore the Cardinal Gibbons uniforms, and Coach DeBuck, who's the head coach, and Donnell Bennett, who is an awesome guy as well as a tremendous football player who had played at a major college level, played 8 years in the NFL. Talk about that. That's got to be experience that's just invaluable.
Yeah, well, Coach Bennett, I spoke to him before the game. He was telling me, "Play, be smart. Don't take unnecessary hits." He was just letting me know, just go out there and have fun. And in the season, he preached the same thing. Coach DeBuck, he did too. They both prepared me for moments like this. And then, you know, on the other side, Coach Martell, his defense, they brought it all year long.
Yeah. I watched you guys, and I mean, it was an amazing year, and I know that a lot is in store for next year. Your entire backfield comes back. This is an offensive line that really, really grew together. Talk about that too, because this off season is going to be a lot of fun because you guys are going to work extremely hard to get back to where you were to show everybody that, you know, maybe you should have been the team up in Orlando. Talk about that and what you're looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, we fell short last year. We're going to come with better. This year, we're going to be way better. You know, the other running back, Tajay Davis, he's younger.
Right.
But he can run. Yeah. He's going to bring track. He just – and our O-line, Jamari Williams, Willie Hepburn. Yeah, we ready this year.
Yep, and you got a good quarterback.
Yeah, Nick Scalzo, yeah. He throws dimes all night long.
Yeah. And he played in the All-Star game. Talk about going against the defense. You have a kid like Chris Bogle who is exceptional, a young guy like yourself. And then this year you probably, I mean, people who didn't watch you, they don't understand, but your linebacking core may have been the best around. I mean, easily the most productive. You lose, obviously, Donnell Bennett. You talked about him. His son played a key role on that as well. Talk about running against that defense and how that made you better.
Yeah, Donnell brought pressure every play. Angel and Sattler, those guys brought it every play. We it was it was just competitive.
Yeah.
Like the way we brought it to us every day, they want to talk. So that gets we gonna talk back and forth. They brought the intensity of practice every day.
Yeah, you are kind of talkative, though. I see you. I mean, you're not afraid to say what's on your mind to the guys. I know that. I've seen you. But, you know, that's a good way to be. But also, I mean, I would do it, too, if I could run a 4.35 like you. I mean, I could run away faster. Your speed, obviously, you're a track guy as well. Talk about, I mean, people don't understand, but you have kind of like junior world-class type of speed. Where'd that develop, and how long have you been in track as well?
Well, I just started track my freshman year with the coaches, Coach Witt and Coach Jeff, the one that ran in the Olympics. They push me every time I go to track record, every day. They push me. The only thing I have to work on is my drive phase and my transition. Right. Once I get that down pat, I'll be ready.
And you run the 1 and 2 and the 4x1?
I just run the 100 and the 4x100. They're trying to get me to run 200, but...
Yeah, they all go hand in hand now. Come on now, Vincent. I mean, it's been done like that for years, and the great ones get better. I mean, and I watch you running back. I mean, your acceleration is crazy, and that's obviously it showed up in games, in the big games as well. We're talking to Vincent Davis, junior running back. Cardinal Gibbons took place in the All-Star game over the weekend. It was one of those games that was developed over the last couple of years. Coach A.G., up in the Orlando area, got it going. I saw a lot of talent. Talk about some of the guys that you were impressed with that you didn't know before, or maybe you were talking about some of the Miami guys. Talk about some of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Like the DB, Tariq from South Jersey.
Yeah. He's a dangerous man.
Yeah, he talks all off the wall.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
And D lineman. I never got to see Demon Buford from
Deerfield. Place, okay.
But I saw him this past weekend, and he can hit.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, good stuff. Well, I appreciate you stopping in. Just admired the way you played this last year. The best thing about it is you're coming back again. People get a chance to see you at Cardinal Gibbons for next year. What do you got going on for New Year's? Anything good besides a lot of hard work?
Just working out with my boys, Tajay, Sidney Porter, the DB, number 18.
Yep.
We just working.
Good stuff. Well, Vincent, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on a great showing over the weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Vincent Davis, Cardinal Gibbons, just a junior. You got to see this kid. He is amazing. Acceleration, and then Tajay Davis, who's a year behind him. Wow. It is the Davis brothers running just over a lot of people next year. This is going to be one of the teams, like we talked about Carroll City being one of those teams. Keep an eye on Gibbons. That's a team that has an opportunity to do some exceptional things. Big show this evening up until 9 o'clock. Larry Bluestein with you on South Florida High School Sports.com radio. Also, get over to our website. We have all new stuff coming up today. I think Alex got it up earlier. We have a look back at that All-Star game and some of the guys that were voted into the game. Not all the kids that played, but a lot of the kids that were voted in. A lot of guys couldn't go for one reason or another. But you know how talented this next wave of class of 2019. We talked earlier with Don Bailey Jr. about the Hurricanes class coming in at 2018. They have a couple of interests in this 2019 class that we saw the last week. And if you got an opportunity, get over to South Florida HighSchoolSports.com. Check that out. And all the McDonald's players of the week, or coaches of the week, and the teams of the week that we had throughout the season. When we come back, we have a big show. I told you, Coach Chris Merritt about 8:45. Elijah Moore, a recent Georgia signee from St. Thomas Aquinas, about 8:30. And then when we come back, Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services.
At Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit at MorseSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM. Yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Radio Show for a Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein up until 9 o'clock this evening. The Cactus Bowl It could be Coach Snyder's final coaching performance for Kansas State as they play UCLA, with or without Josh Rosen. It makes a difference because I watched him light up USC for like 500 yards. So, but that's coming up at 9 o'clock, so you won't want to miss that this evening. A good game that could have some little history in it, especially with the fact that if this is Coach Snyder, I think he's been doing this 27 years. Long, long time. Certainly, we thank Vincent Davis for joining us. Cardinal Gibbons, junior running back, make up quite a tandem of Davis and Davis, and also Nick Scalzo for the 2018 season. But as we focus back, I want to take us back about a week, National Signing Day, the early National Signing Day, and a lot of people had their ideas about it. If it was good, when it should be held, you know, picking it apart. I just told you the way I felt. One of the guys that has immersed himself in recruiting knows, talks to a lot of the college coaches, sees them at the convention, sees them during the spring and some of the open periods, as well as a lot of the kids. And he sees a lot of teams. He films a lot of games as well. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services joins us. Thanks, Charles. I thought I told you it was 8:20, but I guess maybe not. How you doing?
Hey, Larry, this is – I can play Charles if you like. This is Chris Merritt, actually.
Oh, he got the wrong guy on for you. Okay. Wow, you jumped around, huh? Okay, yeah. Well, all right, Coach. I think that I talked the wrong guy.
Recruiting if you
no,
want.
That's all right. I think I wrote it on his sheet differently than I wrote it on mine. But that's my bad. I do want to. I'm sorry. I just did want to talk about last week in U.S. I see it. I know I wrote it down. Now he's rubbing it in my face. But I was preoccupied. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. And, you know, last week I was noticing you went to the Bahamas for a clinic, and you do that a lot as far as not just, you know, in South Florida, but for around the area and you know, around the nation. I see you go to all these different places. And we talked about your, you know, affiliation with USA Football. Talk about that and the benefits of going over to the Bahamas and doing a camp and a clinic for these kids.
Well, every year since the start of the Bahamas Bowl, Conference USA has been generous enough to fly me over, house me for a couple of days in Atlantis where the team stay, and I get the opportunity to put on a clinic for the kids over there. Football is a sport that's growing in the Bahamas. They have their own national federation. Goodness knows there's athletes galore over there, but they have a passion for football. They just don't have the resources. So Conference USA in conjunction with the Bahamas Bowl flies me over. We put on a nice camp for the kids, the local kids, trying to get it started at the groups level, some interest in there, and get their flag football program started. It's just a way for them to also get the college players involved with the kids that are playing in the bowl. So it's a promotion all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, and I know that the event has gotten bigger. You can see it. I mean, I remember the first year that they had it over, I think Western Kentucky played, because we had Brandon Dowdy from down here played in it. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's a neat little event. I mean, you know, it's over there. It gives these, especially these teams from colder climates, to go over there and then spend a couple of days and then enjoy the kind of weather we enjoy throughout the year.
Well, it's a unique bowl because, number one, it's not in the United States. It's in a foreign country. Number two, it gives those smaller conference teams someplace warm to go. A lot of times those conference teams from the MAC and the Sun Belt, sometimes they're relegated to not-so-warm bowls, I guess. But it's a great opportunity for those teams to come down and play in the Bahamas. Atlantis is a beautiful resort, and it's a unique experience for the kids and bowls all the way around.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Merritt joining us, Christopher Columbus High School head football coach who away from the season keeps as busy as he does during the season. I'm sure that your family likes that, but you do take your family on a lot of these little outings, which is great. Do you get a chance to go back to Indiana to do events as well?
Well, every year we have our training. You know, one of the things with USA Football that I get to do is train youth and high school coaches across the country, and we have a annual training up in Indianapolis, which is home for me.
Nice.
So we get to go up there once a year.
And the USA football, I mean, we had the last year, we had a nice tryout for the team here at Miami's at the bubble. I had an opportunity to see that, and a lot of great coaches, a lot of great instructors. Talk about that as well, because I know there's a lot of people that participate in South Florida, not probably abundance of them, but we saw quite a few last year at the event. Talk about USA football and what they're doing as far as how they're choosing their teams.
Well, football is a different sport in terms of how it's structured. The other sports got a little jump on us. The national programs, the USA football is it's the same body as USA baseball and USA basketball. The thing is, there are so many, we're top heavy in the sport. It goes NFL, college, but there's not a lot of support below the high school level. There's not a lot of organization. What USA football does is kind of, it brings everybody together under one umbrella, and they're trying to start a national team program where they'll have these regional development camps like you came to last year.
Yep.
All over the country, and they identify kids. To be honest with you, it's very similar to the same structure that the Under Armour and the Army Games
have
their deals. Very similar. But the difference is that you get the opportunity to represent your country versus being in an all-star game. The colleges, actually, because it's a national team program, they can go see the games. They can go to the practices because
right.
it's not a all-star game. So it's a pretty unique deal. It's a lot of fun to see kids, come up through the programs, through the ranks from U13, U14, U15, and start to compete. And last year we had a couple of kids, Trajan Bandy and C.J. Henderson, played for the national team up in Orlando. So.
And in one of your training camps, the one here in Davie, Anthony Schwartz broke your clock on the 40, which was pretty nice. I mean, and that's the type of talent that you get. And I mean, I thought it was an exceptional deal because you get a chance to see some of these kids who are elite. And we saw a lot of the younger kids, like the Gulliver Prep kids that were there. And obviously some of the younger kids in South Florida, they get an opportunity, and we see them, from a youth football league all the way on. Is you think that the like USA and the I don't know if this would be under the structure, but somebody had asked me that the other day, from like preventing injuries or coming up with ideas where to lessen the injury, do they ever have like wear different gears, or do they have experimental type of events in USA football?
Well, not necessarily experimental. We're more of a coach's education program. A lot of times injuries are prevented if we just practice the right way.
Right.
And teach our coaches the proper techniques. And because unfortunately, there is no, for a full contact sport, there is no true education.
Yeah.
There's no required education. Anybody can go to Dick's Sporting Goods, buy a whistle, and all of a sudden he's coach. So what we're trying to do is just educate and give coaches a toolbox. My first coach is my father, and he wasn't trying to teach me unsafe things in football, but he taught me to bite the ball when I made the tackle. He taught me to use my helmet to knock the ball out and those
right.
things. But that's just, we can't do that anymore. We're smarter now. We're smarter as a profession, and we have to get better at what we teach these kids.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Chris Merritt, Christopher Columbus High School, certainly a tremendous coach and has done an awesome job. And obviously, you look around and you got to be that proud papa, as you just mentioned, two names, and C.J. Henderson and also Trajan Bandy here with the University of Miami, who had just exceptional years. But you got a lot of kids playing. I mean, Ivy League kids. You look at Pete Delator, who is just mashing it up at Marist. I mean, talk about that experience when you get a chance to see a player that you've known since basically they were kids, so well.
It's weird because I'm getting older, and as I look around, we've got 40 some kids playing college football across the country right now, and of course we have three in the NFL with Deion Bush and Bobo Wilson got his first touchdown yesterday.
Wow.
And Brandon Radcliffe with the Dolphins, but we it seemed like every weekend this year, I got a text message of picture of two kids who played against each other in a college game that were teammates in high school. Nick McBeth was an All-American at Holy Cross, taking
yes.
pictures with Zach Marty at Brown. Josh Uche and Chris Henderson. It didn't matter what game or what weekend. I just got text messages from these kids with pictures, there's a tremendous amount of pride. The brotherhood at Columbus High School kind of speaks for itself there, and these kids are going on being successful, and it's exciting to watch them grow up and hit their stride.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, I appreciate you joining us a little earlier than I expected. From now on, I'll have to keep my mind on what I'm writing. I was talking with somebody, and I wrote down, I think, something different from my producer. But nevertheless, you're here. I appreciate it. I hope you had a good Christmas yesterday, and happy holidays, and happy New Year to you and your family.
To you too, Larry. We'll see you next year.
Good stuff. You too. Chris Merritt, as we mentioned, great coach. But not only that, handles things for USA football. Had an opportunity, as we mentioned, to go over to the Bahamas and do his thing over there. That's exciting. I like when a lot of our local coaches do that and get out. And, we had Kiko Alonso took a bunch of kids or a bunch of coaches and stuff to have an event in Puerto Rico. So, that's always exciting as well. Probably not as exciting last Wednesday. I know that I may have underestimated the early national signing day. I thought, some kids would take advantage of it while others said, give me the next couple of weeks. I still, coming off a season. One of the players that seized the moment and certainly is was committed early on or pledged a little bit to Georgia, but ended up coming out of last Wednesday, Ole Miss Rebel, and one of the more underrated guys. And I think you're going to see that once he gets into college and everybody gets an opportunity to watch him play, because Elijah Moore is special. He joins us this evening. Elijah, thanks so much. Congratulations. I know that's huge for you and the family.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Merry Christmas, too, by the way.
You too. Thanks, and a Happy New Year. And certainly, what an exciting time, last week was. I know that in the past, we get a chance to experience all this in February and have all those parties, but they kind of pulled a switch on us this year and made it a little earlier. Did you like that? Would it have been the same if you had to do it in 6 weeks, or was that kind of a special time?
I wasn't really knowing, looking forward to it, but I'm kind of glad everything's over and I got it off my shoulders, like a big lift off my shoulders. So, I think it's a blessing in disguise. So, I couldn't ask for a better, coach for Coach Harry. He's been really talking to me about it, breaking it down with me and my family. So, he really looking out.
Yeah, well, and over the last 2 years, you have matured into an all-around player. And everybody's watched it. You made a lot of sacrifices. You blocked a lot. You did a lot of things, ran a lot of decoy routes, but certainly a guy that, when given the opportunity, made the most of it, and we've watched you do it. Obviously, this is an exciting time for you because you get to go into a program that is always bringing in tremendous athletes and in an environment that loves its football in a smaller area but a really good area. Talk about that and the decision to go to Ole Miss.
Coming from St. Thomas, everything's conditioned over there, so I really had no problem just in that learning for a couple of years. Yeah. Well, for that 1 year, and I think it's a blessing too. I get to look up to, Mike, Trey Audenboy, JP, J. Roger, but, this year I know I didn't have many opportunities, but I think it really helped me, humble me, and I think I'm going to do just fine at Ole Miss, and, I think I get to really show my talents in college.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Elijah Moore joining us, St. Thomas Aquinas, committed to Ole Miss last Wednesday. Another thing, too, a lot of people don't have the luxury that you have going against probably one of the best secondary you're going to find, and a very deep secondary. So if one guy goes out, there's another guy that you're not going to be able to run on. Talk about that, because that had to really elevate your play.
Yeah, it did. Every day going against, in my opinion, the best DBs in the nation, Asante Samuel, Al Blade, Jaden Davis, all the young boys, Jamal Ace. It's like going against, the best every day. It's like, it's like you're at camp every day and you got to impress somebody. So, you can't go wrong. If you win, you win. You lose, you lose. You got to get back at it. So,
yeah.
It was really impressive, too.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's the mindset. And obviously the way things ended up wasn't the way that St. Thomas likes to end things up. Certainly we watch Venice, very good football team. Talk about this year. I mean, this is obviously you saw a lot of young kids emerge, especially as you mentioned in defensive secondary. The kid like Jaden Davis or the kid Battle who came up with a huge play to pretty much win the Bosco game or at least send it in overtime. Talk about the younger kids, because now you guys leave and the next generation of players to wear this uniform comes along. Talk about what you think that, you know, as this senior class leaves, what's in store for this program?
I mean, St. Thomas always going to be on top. You know, they just have that mentality, you know. They got that dog in them. So,
yep.
You know, Davis, Battle, Ace, all them boys, they're going to run it. You know, the offense going to clear up. You know, it's going to be second year and everybody's still learning, but no, I think they're going to be just fine, and they're going to go to states.
Yeah.
I think they're going to finish the mission where we couldn't finish this year. So.
I think they'll be fine, as you said. Also, you're taking off in a couple days for the Orlando area, going to the Under Armour game. That's got to be a thrill. I mean, it's a national televised game. You talk about, you know, I was just talking about to Vincent Davis at Gibbons getting an opportunity to see some really good kids over the weekend in class of 2019. Now you're going to see even better kids from around the country, kids that are going everywhere that you're going and more. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it is. You know, I really can't wait. I'm very excited.
And they'll give you plenty to wear. I see that they tell you to just come with your shorts and a T-shirt. I mean, amazing. It's a lot of fun. I've been there the last every year. I'll be there this year for the game. I probably won't be there for a lot of the practices, but definitely come out and watch you. And certainly looking forward to watching you in college more than anything, because we've been there. Sly and I have been talking about you since you were in ninth grade, and certainly you've come full circle and done exactly what everybody thought you would do. And congratulations. Have a great holiday. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you more. Elijah Moore, I'll tell you what, wait till you get a chance to watch him play at the next level, big time. You'll get a chance to watch him also next week in the Under Armour game, comes up on Thursday evening. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Tuesday evening with Charles Fishbein, who was scheduled to come a little bit earlier, but we'll talk and we'll wrap things up with him, talk about some of the early recruiting, and look back at this year.
Smartphone on the new radio.com app. Download it for free from the App Store or Google Play.
Rap the set, gotta rap the set. Chase a chick, never chase a chase no mask on.
Back to wrap things up with you on a South Florida High School Sports radio show for a Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein with you, Manny Chang. Up until 9 o'clock, we have Cactus Bowl this evening, UCLA and Kansas State. So you want to check that one out. Could be Coach Bill Snyder's last game at the college level. He's been around, molded a lot of lives and in that time. Thanks to Coach Chris Merritt for joining us and Elijah Moore headed to Ole Miss in the last segment. And now we talk about, I guess we flash back about 6 days ago to that early recruiting time. And a lot of people, as we mentioned, we talked to Coach Merritt about it, talked to a lot of coaches, a little mixed reaction about it. I guess if you had it pretty much sewn up, you were ready to do it last week. But there are a lot of people think that they could tweak it either way. And one of the guys who follows it from the beginning is Charles Fishbein. He joins us this evening from Elite Scouting Services. Charles, thanks so much and happy holiday.
Thank you. I just want to set the record straight. I'm not Columbus's new head coach, and Coach Merritt has nothing to worry about. So.
Yeah, well, we're sorry that the mix-up. I wrote down your number in his spot. So, but we're here, and nevertheless, it's gone through a week since the National Signing Day Part One, and I know that you followed as much as anybody. What is there a consensus or on the first go round, or do you think they could tweak it a little bit and maybe make it a little more convenient?
Well, I mean, one coach called me this week, and let's put it this way: I can't repeat what he said on the phone. He wasn't real thrilled because their team was in a bowl game, and you know, it's made life difficult because it's such a drastic change. These guys are used to this time of the year getting ready for a bowl game. And or the holidays themselves, and not really going into that moment till February, what, the first week of Wednesday of every year. So,
you know, Charles, I talked to Leroy Horde the other day, and he came up with a pretty decent thing that I didn't hear think about. What about 2 days after the national championship? You know, it's still early enough where you have 3-4 weeks in advance of February the 7th this year. And, you know, then you don't have to worry. And I think you agree that when you go recruiting, don't you talk about the bowl experience? Well, if you're not experiencing the bowl, I mean, if you're Mario Cristobal and you have to get a couple of kids in over that weekend for that last weekend visit, but you're in a bowl game, your hands are tied. Same thing happened up here with Lane Kiffin. He was involved in a bowl. It just doesn't seem that, you know, that they thought enough about it, because you still have, what, 70, 60-something teams in bowls this time of year.
There's no question. They should either put it in August or go after the new year, have it, you know, you have it in January, like you said, because – you have so much going on this time of year, and with the bowl games, you just, they have to prep for a bowl game and recruit and have a signing day in that same, you know, some of these schools had like a week to get kids on campus. You know, especially for schools like a Florida State or a Florida that hired a new coach.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, not only do they not have a full staff, they have to go out there and recruit. You know,
right, and no coordinators, and I know that they're recruiting to what Willie Taggart's strengths are, but what if it's a coordinator that you might be, you know, hey, I like that guy, I see him work type of guy. That's an enhancement. So yeah, I agree. I think you're, you know, the, especially and it's not just Florida. It's going to happen every year. So you already could factor that in. There's going to be coaching changes every year, and let's say they come up around the same time of year that Willie Taggart did. That Mullins was a little bit luckier because he had more of a feel for the area and knew a lot more people in the area than Willie Taggart did in Tallahassee. So I'm pointing him out, but you also have a couple of coaches out on the West Coast that are new. We talked about Mario Cristobal coming in. Yeah, it's going to happen every year, so they're going to have to come up with an idea that's going to benefit. I understand. I know why they went to it, because it makes it a lot easier, especially when you know that you have those scholarships coming into February that you don't have to go out and get.
Yeah, there's no question you want to get guys wrapped up, because the toughest thing is when you have 17, 18, 19 commits, especially like a team like Miami, and you have to, you know, you don't want to have to re-recruit those kids in December and January. So you want them almost in the boat, locked up. You don't have to worry about them. Now you can rearrange your recruiting board and go, all right, well, we only need 3 or 4 other players. Let's go hard after these guys. But if you're sitting there and you're doing it in December, like I said, if you're a new staff like you have at Florida State, these guys don't even have guys on campus to really recruit. You know, you know, Taggart's basically been him and maybe 1 or 2 other coaches. I'm sure it's pretty much the same thing with Mullen. And these guys really are not going to be able to hire anybody until the last bowl games are played, you know, at the end of this month, first part of next month.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Charles Fishbein joining us, Elite Scouting Services. Also, Josh Heupel. That seems like it's a two-part story over there. You have the former staff coaching the team into the bowl game, and then you have the new staff out there trying to put things together and recruit. I guess that's the best of both worlds, where you don't have to worry about both. But look at that situation. You have a completely different guy coming in, Josh Heupel, a lot different than Scott Frost was. What do you see up there?
You know, Heupel's going to do a good job, but you know what? It's a totally different system. He's going to run more of the air raid, you know, spread type offense, where Scott Frost implemented some of the option type offense that he's run, not only, you know, that he ran at Nebraska, but implemented it with the spread concepts. But it's different offenses, so the personnel is going to change a little bit. The one thing I think that you can agree on and is that the athletes are there, so they don't have to overcomplicate it. You know, continue to get the playmakers the ball, and I think Josh is going to understand to do that.
Also, you take a look at Charlie Strong, you know, coming off a really nice year, a big bowl win. Great to see Quentin Flowers join the Mount Rushmore of South Florida all-time football players, because he really had a great career. What do you think about that future? I mean, he's starting to recruit pretty good, but now he's got a lot of competition.
Yeah, not only that, it's you take a guy like Quentin Flowers, you're talking, this is a generational player at that school. You're talking probably one of the best players that will ever go through that program. And you don't want to lose that momentum. They're going to have to replace him, and you know how hard it is. You saw it at Florida when Tebow left. You saw it at Florida State when Jameis left, and all the way from Miami once they replaced Ken Dorsey. It's not easy. You know, fans always think, oh, the next guy will be better, but it's not just the talent. It's the leadership and some of the intangibles that Quinn brought to USF. That's the type of stuff that's going to be hard to replace.
Yeah, Charles Fishbein joining us from Elite Scouting Services. Programs that a lot of people don't watch, but I think they did because of the dynamic coaches and the way that they won this year, FAU, FIU. I know you and I kind of kidded a little bit when we saw that that Kiffin signed a 10-year deal, and you know that guy's gonna wreck people in that conference for a while. Well, talk about that.
Well, you got to figure it's not too bad living in Boca for the next, you know, 6-7 years. But I think he understands that, one, when you could get the athletes, I think Butch has realized it too, when you have so many of these kids you see fall through the cracks, and they can, if they just get 2 to 3 of those kids that are Power 5 kids to fall to them, and then you get some of the transfers, these guys could have success for a very long time. Those programs can sustain themselves with how much talent's in this state.
And you talk also, if Butch and Lane become the centerpieces, you can interchange the parts. You can get new coordinators, you get new position people. But as long as that focal point, you know, that, oh, Butch Davis is coming in my living room, that type of thing, that's a big deal. I mean, you know, when the head coach leaves, it's a whole different story. But if you stay there, you look at, as you mentioned, the coach Briles, who's his offensive coordinator, was certainly worthy of a job, maybe a head job, because he's shown it.
There's no question. And those guys, you're not going to be able to go to too many other places and have the resources as far as players at your disposal as those two schools. You could go to another school that maybe is in a Power 5, but you're competing with bigger programs and maybe you're the last group of schools to get at those kids. Where at FAU, FIU, in that conference, they're going to be able to take from the top of that list that they're able to pull from.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff. Well, happy new year. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you dropping by and adding insight like you always do. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services, thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great evening and happy new year, man.
You too. Charles Fishbein will be with us a lot during the course of the year, talking about some of the local kids. And that's going to do it. Our last show of the 2017 year. We wish everybody a happy and safe new year. Manny Chang, everybody at WQAM and also Entercom. We got something going strong as we head into 2018. And again, wishing everybody a happy new year. We'll see you next year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.